to try to impart as much to you as we can, both in the giving of information and the imparting of that spirit of prophecy that we're also just so desiring of. Now, let's look at some common issues with interpretation. Common issues with interpretation. And this would be on, I guess this is page 4 of your study guide. They're not numbered. It's where you left off. I like that. Well played. Page 4. Common issues with interpretation. And this will actually take us into being able to interpret impressions and also prophetic perceptions. And I'm also going to give you a checklist, a prophetic checklist of just some things to be aware of just for yourself, and then just some keys to be more practical when it comes to hearing God. I'll tell you, I love being revelatory, but I also like being practical. Amen? And so I feel like if the Lord can provide us some practical biblical keys, we would do well to put those to use. Amen? Amen. So common issues with interpretation. Okay, now we're looking at these. If these are issues, we know that if we can excel in these areas, they'll actually be helps. They'll be beneficial. And so when I use the word issue, I don't want that to sound negative. I do want to just communicate that this is often where people miss it in their understanding of what God has said. They've recognized God is speaking, but from the moment they're recognizing God has spoken to trying to figure out what it is He's saying, these become some of the hindrances or the hurdles that honestly we can easily overcome if we understand. Okay? So number one is a lack of biblical knowledge and understanding. Types and shadows. A lack of biblical knowledge and understanding. How do you know He is the Word? Amen. Amen? And the Word became flesh, and that Word dwelt among us. And one of the greatest things that you can do in terms of positioning yourself to grow in the prophetic is become a lover of this. A lover of His Word and a lover of His Spirit. Because when the Spirit kisses the Word, the prophetic is what's produced. But so often, I know in my life, the way the Lord, the primary way the Lord speaks to me, at least the way it originates most times, comes through my understanding of the written Word. In fact, I probably don't have time to do this weekend, but what I do is, I'm thankful for the sovereign touch of God. I'm thankful for when God comes to us with dreams. I'm thankful for trances, okay? That's probably, trances, ecstasies of God. Those are new covenant realities that we're supposed to be experiencing where we can be caught up into heavenly places, amen? Paul said he was caught up into heaven and saw things that he could not speak of here on earth. Acts chapter 10, Peter was hungry and fell into a trance. How many of you like to fall into a trance before your next dinner? Come on now. I know the Lord has disciplined us through His Word. The Lord spoke to me years ago. How many of you know there's a door standing open saying, come up here, right? Revelations 4:1. But I want to tell you, that door has a name, John 10 tells you. And it says His name is Jesus. And the same door that is standing open is also the same door that is the written Word. And when we create a discipline and an understanding of a meditation of Scripture, meditation and contemplation, this may be four things we hit on tonight, if you can remind me, in terms of recognizing and removing idols. I'll talk about how Christian monks and the mystics of the past used to study Scripture, not for information, but impartation. And how to position yourself in your devotional times to experience not just revelation, but trances, visions, and ecstasies of God. How many of you would like that? It's like taking a black and white devotional time and making it full color. Amen? And the Lord has just trained us over the years. In fact, a lot of it happened with our relationship with Bob Jones and just learning over the years about how to position ourselves for the sovereign hand of God to have a place to rest in and on our life. But it starts with biblical knowledge and understanding. The second issue with interpretation is personal opinion. Now, I know nobody's got that in here. But see, this is honestly a hindrance to many people in interpreting what God is saying, because when we bring our track record or our experiences about things that have happened to us, all of a sudden, prophetic revelation can turn into a counseling appointment. And we begin to start trying to minister to someone out of an offense of what happened to us. And it's no longer a pure river flowing like crystal from His throne. Amen. And so personal opinion, we're going to talk about that tonight as well. Also, number three, past experiences. See, aren't you thankful that His mercy is new every morning? And ours is too. Every day you get to push the reset button, the restart button. Steve Thompson said one time, the essence of interpretation is in understanding. Psalm 119:30 says, the entrance of your word, which is revelation, gives light and gives understanding to the simple. And so when God gives revelation, no, it is also for the purpose of having understanding and interpretation. Now, some of you may be asking, how can I really know that God will speak to me if I ask? How many of you ever asked that question? Well, number one, Numbers 23:19 tells you that God is not a man that he should lie. Right? And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I might answer you. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. However, the question of, you know, how can I know God will speak to me, often keeps people from asking for God to speak, and in that place they never hear because they're not willing to listen. Proverbs 8:34 and 35 says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For he who finds me, speaking as wisdom, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But obtaining favor and finding wisdom starts with the position of listening that we may hear. See, we can never hear if we won't listen. And we'll never see if we don't look. It starts with a posture of pursuit. You have there, yeah, but that was Jeremiah. The answer there is God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that under the new covenant, Moses as like this high mark under the old covenant, you know, whose face so shone with the glory of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10, when it's talking about a new covenant, it used him as like, hey, listen, that's the floor for you to begin to launch out from. If a covenant that meant death and was and the blood of bulls and goats could produce that in his life, how much more can a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the testimony, the spirit of prophecy? Amen? So now, ways God speaks and levels of revelation. I'm going to move through this very quickly for the sake of time. But ways God speaks and levels of revelation. So what they now, when I say lower level, we're not degrading or demeaning any. All revelation is good revelation. Okay, we're just talking about the level in which it comes. When God speaks, God speaks, but oftentimes He'll speak in different ways and He'll speak at different levels. But it starts off with mental or spiritual impressions or perceptions. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. It says Jesus perceived them reasoning in their hearts and asked, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" These are made up of three things: stray thoughts or feelings, physical feelings, sensations in your body, especially the words of knowledge. How many of you ever walked into a setting, you've walked into whether it be a gathering of friends or a public place, and all of a sudden you're walking in and you're like, oh man, my right knee hurts. But I didn't do anything to my right knee. Oftentimes we're shaking off that revelation. The Lord's wanting to touch us, to stretch out, to heal somebody. And we're like, oh, man, I need some Tylenol. We're trying to medicate ourselves out of the Lord speaking to us. And oftentimes, the word of knowledge comes. I'm going to talk to you about it with doing a body check. The word of knowledge most often comes first in a physical sensation in your body. When you begin to feel someone else's pain temporarily in your body, and what it is, it's a burning bush. And if you'll turn to it, you'll hear the Lord speak. See, Moses did not hear God speak until he turned to the bush that burned. And if you know historically, and if you understand the landscape of that time and that era, it was not unusual for a bush to have the appearance of burning because of the sun and the reflection off of the sand. And so what he saw was, it wasn't like the way the Bible depicted it on the History Channel. It wasn't like this gigantic campfire. It was like, hey, I wonder if that's God. And so oftentimes when the Lord is speaking, He'll come in a whisper. But when you turn to what might be the Lord, not only do you hear it is, but you also hear clearly what God is saying. So many times we have stories, and I don't have time to talk about this afternoon, maybe tonight or tomorrow, but we'll have stories of you'll begin to feel these sensations in your body, and simply by turning to it, going, oh, I wonder if that's for somebody. All of a sudden, someone in the room is highlighted to you. There's either they, how many of you ever looked into a crowd and it's like one person just kind of stands out? They're not taller, they're not moving near you, it's just they're being highlighted in some way. That's the Lord saying, okay, what you're feeling, it's for them. And one of the things I like to do is I like to ask questions when it comes to revelation and interpretation, because I've never seen the Lord deny me a greater level of depth in terms of asking the Lord questions to try to create a more of an atmosphere of faith in the heart of those He's wanting to speak to. Beginning to say, oh, well, that's evidently for her. And so, Lord, I wonder how long has she had this condition? Okay. And how did it come about? And beginning to model that and beginning to ask. And what happens is oftentimes you may say something in public and say, hey, listen, do you have an issue with your right knee? Have you, you know, just kind of almost feel like a torn meniscus on the inside right there? And then all of a sudden she's like, well, yeah, how did you know that? Have you had it for about 14 years? Yeah, how did you know that? Did you fall off a ladder? Yeah, how did you know that? Well, you know, I looked at you and I just felt this love of the Lord for you. You felt the love of who? Yeah, I just felt like how much the Father just loves you. And like, well, listen, you must be one of those Christians. No, I'm not one of those Christians. I'm a believer. And I just really believe the Lord loves you. And I believe the Lord loves you so much. He would allow me to experience a little bit of pain in your life so He can bring healing and wholeness to every part of your life. You see, and I believe as we walk in love and we become a voice of the prophetic, Christians will once again be called believers. So we'll be known by the one we follow and not just where we go. Okay, so one other deal. Don't have time. Number two, reminders. Holy Ghost reminders, okay? One way the Lord speaks is all of a sudden you can be driving along and you have a thought about good old Aunt Harriet. Out of nowhere. You've not talked to Aunt Harriet in 6-7 months. That's oftentimes the Lord saying, hey, listen, Aunt Harriet could really use a call. And you, when you turn to that, you say, wow, Lord, I've not thought. See, if we'll begin to look for what the Lord's in, we'll begin to see Him a whole lot more clearly. So recognize reminders that come up that are not conjured up in your mind, but all of a sudden just come to you. And then begin to engage the Lord by looking at that bush that's burning and saying, God, what do you have anything you want to say to Aunt Harriet? Because if you do, I'll reach out and touch someone. Three, gentle internal visions. These can almost be overlooked. They're just like real faint, very quick, passing, you know, 2 to 3 seconds at most. It's just kind of in the eyes of your heart. You just see kind of like these just many kind of faint scenes playing out within you. And a lot of us could probably just discount it as daydreaming or stray thoughts. You're not lost, so you don't have any stray thoughts. You're found. What is it? A lost puppy, they call him a stray. Right? You're not lost. You're found. And see, when you give your life to the Lord and you say, God, I'm yours. My body's yours. My mind is yours. My spirit is yours. Here I am. Send me. All of a sudden, He'll take you up on that. And you have to recognize so much of what you just consider as distractions or pizza or this or that really is the Lord speaking to you. And if we begin to look for the Lord and what can often be overlooked, we will see Him and we will find Him. Four, still small voice, heard within our spirit. Of course, the example there is 1 Kings 19:11-12. We won't look at it for the sake of time. But of course, it's when Elijah found the still small voice. Oftentimes, after great great exploits in God, God will bring us back to the basics. And a part of why He does that is to allow us to maintain a posture of humility and dependence on Him. So sometimes, excuse me, you'll have like this great high-level revelation for somebody, and then you're like, just be like, hey, listen, glory to glory. We're going onward and upward, my friend. Don't be surprised if right after that He comes in a whisper just to keep your head on His chest. Never discount the still small whispers. This is one of my favorite ways for the Lord to speak. Now, higher level revelations. We've got open visions. What I call glimpses in the spirit. Glimpses in the spirit can be a meeting like this or really anywhere. It happens to me a lot driving. Where all of a sudden it's almost like you see like a seam open up. Like a veil being torn. And you see what's in the room other than what's in the room in flesh. Okay? I call them glimpses in the spirit. This is a lot of times where you see the angelic. A lot of times glimpses in the spirit sometimes can come even as flashes of light. How many of you have just seen light come across a room? Right? You know, a lot of times, you know, it talks about how he makes his angels winds and his ministers flames of fire. Glimpses in the spirit don't just happen with your eyes. It happens with all of your senses. It's an awareness that comes to your heart. How many of you ever felt the angels come in and winds? Those are glimpses in the spirit. You're just discerning them with something other than a natural eye. Okay? Internal visions, glimpses in the spirit, angelic visitations. Guys, I wanted to tell you about this one I had with Simeon. Okay, I'll tell you real quick. Got to get to 4:30, but I'll tell you real quick. What happened was, because a lot of times we're having dreams and naps, and we just feel like, well, that's just me, you know. And here's what happened. I had a, I was in Moravian Falls, and I was laying down to take a nap, and I'd gone up there with a group of students. We were doing some training with them. The next day, I was going to Chicago to meet with a bunch of guys in the mercantile market about a lot of things they were showing to me about investments and whatnot. And so anyway, I was taking a nap because we hadn't really, you know, had a lot of time to rest. And as soon as I laid down, I went into this ballroom of heaven. That's the only way I can describe it. It was just like this gigantic ballroom. I mean, like the floors were like the whitest of marbles. I mean, like everything was like just like beautiful white marble. And everyone was accompanied by somebody who looked like them, but a little bit older than what they were. And I knew in this encounter, how many of you remember in Acts, I believe it was chapter 12, when Peter was in prison and the angel came and said he touched him, he received strength. He said, now get up. And when he got up, the chains fell off. And as long as he followed the angels, the doors would open. Next thing you know, he comes to Rhoda's door, a slave girl, knocks on her door. And she's like, hey, Peter's at the door. They're like, shh, it's his angel. They're having a prayer meeting for Peter to be released. And they had more faith that Peter's angel came to the door than Peter, than the Lord answering their prayer. And so I knew in this encounter, I said, God, this is the ballrooms of heaven. These are people that you have called me to meet in my life, and these are the angels that have been assigned to their life. And it was interesting because all of them looked just like the person they were assigned to, but more mature, more almost kind of regal, you know, a little bit more seasoned. And so one of them came up to me and he says, hey, listen, I want you to meet this guy. And he introduced him to me. He said, his name is Simeon, but they call him Cinnamon. And I was like, all right. And now how many of you already be like, that had to have been a pizza dream, you know? He said, yeah, he works at this coffee shop with a red roof, and he explained this blue car that he drove, and he gave me a list about 18 things of his life. And he said, now he goes, I need you to come around and step right here. And he had me stand beside him. He said, I want you to take your right hand and put it on his back just beneath his left kidney. And as soon as I'm doing that in the experience, as soon as I'm getting ready to touch his left kidney, I come out. So what do you do with that? I said, where's this red roof coffee shop? And so what I did was I got up and I went up to the lodge and ran into a couple guys. I said, hey, listen, crazy question. Okay? Do you guys know a guy named Simeon? They're like, yeah. It's like, you call him Cinnamon? They're like, how'd you know? It's like, does he work at a coffee shop with a red roof? They're like, yeah, you think you got a word for him? I said, I got 18. So they go get him. They bring him. He was an unbeliever, backslider at the time, had been with the church, got really hurt with the church. And see, a lot of times, listen, I'm telling you, you can hang a sign called homecoming out there because they're about to come home. There's been so much hurt. We understand. Hey, listen, let's not look at what was done wrong. Let's just look at how it can become right. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't want to become critical of what's been. But I did. I saw it when Caleb and I came up to drop off the study guides earlier. I saw a sign called homecoming out front. I believe it's Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17 for so many in here. You can grab a hold of it right now. It's a prophetic word for everybody. It says, refrain your eyes from weeping. Your good work will be rewarded and your children will return to their borders, saith the Lord. And I'm telling you, there is a homecoming. You feel it just came into the room right now? See, hope was on that word. See, that's when we moved out of teaching into prophetic word. There is promise on that word right now. right now? How many of you are feeling just the presence of the Lord on you right now? That right there is witnessing that the Lord is saying, hey, this is a word for you. It is the equivalent of your John the Baptist leaping in the Elizabeth womb saying, hey, listen, the Lord just walked into your situation wherever your son and daughter is because they're coming home. They're coming home. I want you right now just to begin to start prophesying and start decreeing and declaring, calling them right now by name. See, Job 22:27 says you can make your prayer and he'll hear you. But then it says you'll pay your vow. And at that point, he says you can decide and decree a thing and the Lord will establish it. And he'll cause a light called favor to shine on the ways of those that you speak to. And he'll even deliver one who is guilty because of the innocence of your hands. And so I don't care what your son and your daughter are in right now, whether they're in an alternative lifestyle. That's represented in here. Right, I feel it right now. There's those right now that your son and your daughter is away in an alternative lifestyle. There's those right now that your son and your daughter have been bound by alcohol and drugs. There's somebody in here right now that your daughter has actually been working the streets in this city for 13 years. God is wanting right now to start moving on the hearts of these sons and daughters. And if you can just, you don't have to shout, you don't have to make a scene, but if you can just by faith right now say, Lord, I call so-and-so home, I can tell you all of a sudden the Lord will walk into their situation right now because God holds the hearts of kings in His hand and you hold His heart in yours. So Simeon had been away from the Lord. So he comes in and I have this list of 18 things. I say, hey, Simeon, my name's Jason and I met your angel today. You met my what? I said, yeah. And here's what he told me. And so with each thing I told him, his jaw like dropped down like another couple inches. Before you knew it, like his jaw was like his knees. I said, yeah. I said, but the great thing about it was the Lord told me all of these things would just confirm to you that this really is the Lord and you would let me pray for you because he had a real aversion to people touching him. And I said, but I felt like I'm supposed to put my hand on your back right here. Is that okay? He goes, now it is. So I came around. When I touched him, it was like literally like, have you ever seen somebody like pull, like even a cartoon, like pull like a fit, like a skeletal system out of a fish? It was like that. It was like every bone in his body was removed and he was like a pool of Simeon on the ground. And all of a sudden he just hit the dirt. And all of a sudden when he hit the dirt, it was just like, and then all of a sudden shot out. And when he shot out, you remember those Ginsu commercials? It was like this deliverance. And there's going to be some deliverance, by the way, tonight. It's going to be amazing. You're going to love it, man. Some of you aren't going to know you're being delivered. It's going to be that subtle. It's going to be beautiful. I've already seen it. It's going to be beautiful. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm bringing my husband. No. I said, you'll get delivered. It's going to be great. Under the radar. It's going to be great. But what happened was, it was like he began to be delivered. It was like, I've never seen anything before like this or even since. It was like in 6 to 8 inch increments, just working up his body. And it was like this purification process that was happening in his heart, removing doubt and unbelief. And, you know, they came and got me and said, hey, listen, you got to come speak downstairs at the meeting. I'm like, okay. And so I left him on this floor and I went to go speak at this meeting and I met and I saw him years later and he came up to me. He was in a service. He came to a church I planted and he walked in. He's like, you don't know me. You don't remember me, do you? I was like, I mean, that's, by the way, that's a terrible thing to ever ask a public speaker. He's like, you remember me? Yeah. Of course, we go way back. I was like, ah, God, I really want to. Said, last time you saw me, you left me on the floor. I'm like, you still got to narrow it down. He said, I'm Simeon. I said, Cinnamon. He goes, yeah. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I lead worship now. He goes, and I'm a filmmaker. He goes, in fact, I've got 3 films right now that are being nominated for the Sundance Film Festival. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I've taken all the things I haven't understood about the Lord in times past and the offense that came with it. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave me a revelation of how to present those to an unbelieving world without becoming kind of Christianese to them, to try to invite them into a place of truth. You see, the Lord took a cynic through a dream, an encounter that I could have easily been like, man called Cinnamon. What the heck's wrong with me? I'm not going to, because honestly, when pride steps in, the Lord steps out. Lest we be like a child. Lest we be like a child. It takes humility. So anyway, angels, angelic visitations, visitations of the Lord. Ooh, we got 19 minutes. Shaka-la-ba-shaka. Visitations of the Lord. Vivid dreams, night visions, literal, symbolic, trances, being caught up in the spirit. Other ways God speaks, these are a listing of His spiritual senses. Like I said, we can even make, we're of course not going to have time to get through to this, so I can always make this available to Rosemary. I know some people have already asked about the list of fragrances. I can just email that to you, and if you guys are okay distributing it, you can just give it away to whoever wants. We're real big believers on giving everything away. So, spiritual senses, sight, biblical examples there. Of course, they saw Elijah resting on Elisha. Smell, the blank there is addictions. I smell addictions on people. You know why? You gain authority because of things you suffer. My history has to do with that. I've got 4 bullet holes in me. You know, I've walked a path. But I've overcome. And because I've overcome, I can actually smell spirits and addictions on people. I smell the drug that they're on or they're addicted to. They don't have to just smoke weed in the parking lot and come into the meeting. I smell it like fresh cut weed. I smell cocaine. I smell heroin. There's a smell for me for acid. There's a smell for me for mushrooms. I smell infirmities. I smell diseases. And a lot of this has to do with a track record with God where I would smell something that would come into the room and I wasn't just like, ooh, somebody needs a Tic Tac. But I would say, whoa, you know, because how many of you ever smelled something and you felt darkness go through your body? See, that's not when you're just like, oh, I just need a Holy Ghost car wash. Oh. But we get so much about ourselves. Okay? Yes, plead the blood on your way in, but once the blood is pled, you're in. And then you need to say, okay, Lord, tell me. You wouldn't let me discern this unless you wanted to give me authority over this. And see, infirmities have fragrances, spirits of death, addictions. A lot of other strongholds have different fragrances attached to them. Also, I smell different ministries or functions of the Holy Spirit and presence of God. And let me repent to you right there. I said I smell. You smell. We all smell. You just got to recognize what's in the room. We're here, you know, Bishop Juck, myself, we're here to say, hey guys, listen, this is for you. If you're a son the Father loves, all that we're talking about is for you. This is not for prophets and super prophetic people. This is for whoever knows that the Father loves them. It's the love of the Father that will open your eyes. I'm thankful for the gifts that God has given by His grace to the body of Christ. Yes, there are offices. Absolutely, not discounting. There's a difference between a gift of prophecy, a spirit of prophecy, and an office of prophet. Yes. But at the same time, oftentimes we think because we're not this, we can't have that. I want to tell you, believe for that and you could become that. You know what I'm saying? People say in 1 Corinthians 12, it says that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to those He wills, and if He wills, He will. Well, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. First, we have to believe He is. Second, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'll tell you, I've had healing gifts open up in my life, not because I prayed for somebody and they got well, but because all of a sudden, I just had a compassion for death. I had a compassion for certain conditions and certain sicknesses. As a small child, you know, Down syndrome just ripped my heart apart. You know, I mean, just there's different conditions in my life that all I have to do is just think about somebody with it. And it causes me to come unglued. And I recognize that's my next area of authority. And so don't just look at where you've had success. Look at where your heart is moved. And recognize God is pointing a path. He's already anointed you and given you authority to become successful. But it comes by faith. It comes by a diligent pursuit. It comes by asking, seeking, and knocking. Of course, touch. Discerning through touch, discerning how you feel this action is taking place in the natural. We used to do this a lot. I don't want to sound spooky at the end of a session here. But we do a lot of prophetic exercises. Okay? Says you're supposed to have your senses exercised to discern. And see, Elisha said, hey, listen, if I'm not seeing into the king's bedroom chamber, it's because the Lord's hidden it from me. See, we're not just supposed to have understanding about people's lives. God wants to give us understanding in all things. John 14:26 says the helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I've said. So we do prophetic exercises. Maybe we'll have some time to do some activations and some exercises even tomorrow. One of the things that I used to do just to train myself is I would take a deck of 52 playing cards. And I would just pray for him. I said, Lord, listen, because I can discern things by touch. I could get faxes, and I could all of a sudden pick up a fax. This is back when people used fax. I can do it by email now, and you can discern the spirit that is behind that fax, behind that email. Doesn't matter what they say. This is the heart that they're coming in. But the way I got there was I said, listen, Lord, I want to train myself. And there's not really any training schools for this. So I said, I'm going to get a deck of cards. And I'm going to ask the Lord. I say, brother. Yeah, brother. So I say, Lord, you know, what is this? Because he knows all things. And I begin to start asking him, okay, what number card is it? Okay. What suit is it? Okay. Five of diamonds. Yes. All right, great. Feel good about myself. What is it, God? Ooh, two of spades. Oh, got proud. Missed it. See, there's been a process of just really going after the Lord and just really just going, God, I want to grow. See, when someone's wanting to grow in their athletic ability, they'll shoot free throws till midnight. But if we talk about practicing the prophetic, it's like, ooh, easy, brother. Remove your limitations. Remove your restrictions. Vaughn and Hunter, they'll tell me, they've seen a lot of this stuff over in my life over the years, and so they know how crazy we are. D, taste. E, hearing. Still small voice, internal voice, external audible voice. Puns, biblical puns. How many of you have heard this? Jeremiah 1:11-12, when Jeremiah was asked, what do you see? And he said, I see the rod of an almond tree. How many of you remember that in Jeremiah 1? It was actually a play on words. It was a play on words. It says, I see a rod of an almond tree. It was the Hebrew word shaked. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching, which is shakad. It means to be alert, awake, on the lookout, hastening, watching over my word to perform it. And what it was so close to the pronunciation of the Hebrew word for almond tree. It was so phonically similar for watching and hastening. The Lord used something he had natural understanding of to give him spiritual understanding in an area that he was ignorant up until that point. And so that is to tell you that God will use your personal understanding in your areas of expertise. If you're a mechanic, expect God to speak to you in terms that only a mechanic would know. If you're a housewife, expect for God to speak to you in things that you would relate to. God uses who you are as a filter of how he speaks, okay? Real quickly, let's look at six keys to hearing God's voice, and then we'll take the last 10 minutes and jump into interpreting impressions and perceptions. But honestly, we could not have jumped into 102 without laying some of this 101 foundation. How much of this has been repeat for you? Has a lot of this been repeat? Okay. How many of you, this is the first time you've heard some of this stuff? Okay. Yeah, because if we had gone it, yeah, some's repetitive, because some's just basic. A lot of this is things that we've adapted on our own over the years. But where we want to go with interpreting impressions and prophetic perceptions, it would have been tough to get there without offering this baseline. But just keys to hearing God's voice. I'm going to read them very quickly. It's only one blank per key. Number one, dwell in his presence. Dwell in his presence. And I put there, I know Tina's voice in a crowd of many. Tina's my wife. And so I can walk into a room and there can be a lot of ladies talking. There can be like a ladies' tea and, you know, clanging of this, clanging of that. And if Tina's there, I know it because I can hear her voice amidst many voices because of our time together. Okay? Some of us, you know, because of the time together, we tune out. No, we got to tune in. It's interesting, you know, like, you know, you'd be told the trash needs to go out three times, but you told the dinner, you know, dinner's ready once, you know, I mean, you know, anyway, that's a whole other deal. Nobody here knows what I'm talking about, bless God. But it's because we have history, and so I know her voice. How do you know the Lord's voice? You listen for it. You'll never hear what you don't listen for. And so dwelling in his presence, dwelling in his presence. Number two, focus on God's purposes, his character, his nature. How do you do that? Man, you devour the Gospels, and when you get done, do it again. You begin to look for the Lord in the lives of those around you. Because I'll tell you, to those who have understanding, everything is prophetic. Paul Keith, I was with Paul Keith and Chuck Pierce 2 weeks ago. And Paul Keith was joking because Chuck and I were interpreting different things in the room and different revelations. And Paul Keith's like, listen, you guys could interpret the carpet squares and the curtains. And all of a sudden, Chuck started interpreting the carpet squares, and I started interpreting the curtains. And Paul Keith goes, I give up. Because to those with understanding, all things, you can see God in everything. All of creation is groaning. You simply need to be on the frequency to hear what it's saying. Amen? Three, a lifestyle of asking. A lifestyle of asking. And when I say ask, remember, it's ask, seek, knock. It's an acrostic. Ask, seek, knock. By the way, I really do pray that in everything we share, whether it be testimony or whether it be teaching, you only hear invitation. Okay? It's an even playing field. Okay? And a lot of times I know in training sessions we can hear something that almost seems unattainable. And I want to tell you, listen, there is such a level playing field. Right now, the Spirit of God is so jealous for you. And the Father is speaking so clearly. He's just simply saying, just turn your ear just a degree to my voice and you will hear with a clarity you've never heard in times past. And for those who desire to understand, it's not some sort of like system of hoops you have to jump through. It's not some sort of prophetic paying of your dues. It is simply a heart, a pure heart that says, Lord, I want to see you. I want to understand you. I want to become a representation of who you are in this great city called Selma. And I'll tell you, it's just not as hard as it's been made out to be in times past. So 4, grow in love toward others. Look for opportunities to love, and your eyes will be positioned to see, and your ears are positioned to hear. Where the heart of God is evident through the fruit of the Spirit, the hand of God will often manifest through the gifts of the Spirit. Love is our source. A, open a door for somebody. B, smile and mean it. C, bless somebody financially. See, you'll be amazed how oftentimes the prophetic shows up in the practical. How oftentimes, and I'll repeat that, I said it quickly, but you'll be surprised how oftentimes the prophetic shows up in the practical. I've seen God show up more in my city recently was just simply smiling at a cashier, telling her, hey, listen, you're doing an amazing job. How many of you ever, you're in a line and everybody's just impatient? Everybody goes to the store when they're running late to somewhere. You know, ever notice that? And I mean, like, that's just a hard job. I mean, like, you know, it's tough, you know, and everybody's like mad because all of a sudden it's that person's fault they're late and not because they're late. And everyone's taking out their offense on this person. And all of a sudden you get up and be like, hey, you're awesome. I just want to say, you're amazing. You're doing a great job. And all of a sudden they break down, thank you. And guess what? All of a sudden, a door is opened to their heart. You gain trust like that, and you've positioned yourself in love, and now you can hear what the Lord wants to say. But oftentimes, we just go in and just be like, I got to get a word. I got to get a word. I got to get a word. Become the word. Just love them. And watch how the Lord comes on the backside of it. I've seen so much just in a smile. Here's another one. Opening a door. In the world we live in, we're always about where we're going, and typically not only where we're going, but what we're looking at on the way. It's an iPhone for a reason. It's all about us. Just holster that puppy. Listen, I'm the chief of sinners. But listen, just putting that thing down and making eye contact. Sometimes you have 5 steps as you're walking by somebody, and those 5 steps can change their life. Because the Lord has told me, He gave me a promise years ago, said with a word, Jesus cast out evil spirits and healed the sick. He said, I'm going to release an anointing in your day to where with a look you can cast out evil spirits and bring healing to the sick. To where torment will leave the hearts of many just with a look as you engage their eyes. And guess what? If we're constantly looking down, they'll never look up. And so get practical. Just love people. Hold a door. Bless somebody financially. You know, try tipping a waiter more than your meal costs. And don't stick around for the credit, but just be sure to come back. You'll be amazed at how when you model the heart of God, the Word of God comes out of that heart. 5, do a body check. Quite simply, know what's going on with your body. Okay? If you've got a condition and you need healing, just be aware of that. Be in belief for it. But all of a sudden, if you know you've got bursitis and you're walking through the store and your bursitis is flaring up, I'm not even sure what bursitis is, by the way. But anyway, just sounded like, you know, it's flaring up. I feel bursitis. I'm just kidding. No. And all of a sudden, that's not necessarily a word of knowledge for somebody. That might have been something you brought to the party. That's your chips. That's your deal. And so know what's going on with your body. Because what it does is, when a foreign sickness or infirmity tries to either attach itself to you, because 2 things happen. 1, the Lord can either speak to you through word of knowledge by allowing you to discern, or have you ever had something jump off and try to jump on you? You're praying for somebody, you're walking through, and all of a sudden, you feel this thing jump on you, and you say, whoa, that ain't for me, but somebody here has it. And see, a lot of times that's how I'll discern word of knowledge too. Not just something the Lord's allowed me to feel, but also something trying to attach itself to me. And let me tell you how it attaches. It comes as an invitation, kind of like a FedEx package. But if you agree, this is how you agree, by having fear going, oh God, is that a heart attack? Acid reflux? Is it burrito? What is it? You know? This is how you agree. You sign for it. How many of you ever got a FedEx package that was sent to you, but it was not addressed for you? A lot of times it's what happens with the enemy. There'll be something that's sent to you, but it's not for you. So don't sign for it. Look at it and say, this is for somebody else. Lord, who do you want to touch? Are you with me? Let's do a body check. Know what's going on in your body. Know what's going on in your body. Lastly, eat the Word. Eat the Word. Hear the Word. Know the Word. Become the Word. One definition of prophesying is to bubble forth. And having a well of the Word gives you a source to spring from and draw out of. And I'll tell you what, what was the last one? Yes, eat, hear, know, become. Let me tell you this, it's 4:27, so we've ended this session. Would it be okay to take... I could just give you the fill in the blanks to where we don't have to teach it, just to fill in the blanks. Can we do that on the 102? Just to where you have it? Because I don't think we're not going to have time to come back to this, will we, Chuck? Okay. Well, let's do this. We want to be respectful of your time. So everybody have this in your hand? Let's do this for the sake of your time. I will not fill in the scriptural references. Okay? That's your homework. Okay? What version? New King Jimmy. Next, page 2. While dreams, visions, and dark sayings are widely accepted as fundamental ways God speaks. Let me see here. Let me pull it up here.
The very first blank, though, on growing in the prophetic 101, what is that?
The very first blank? I have no idea. I don't know. Where? What page are you on, sister? Oh, it's 102. 102. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you said 101.
I'm sorry.
Yep. We've got 1 minute to tell you. Let me find out real quick here. You know what? Let's do this. This really would not do it justice. And it actually, if I just try to give you blanks without filling it in... No, we want to respect your times. Was this helpful though? Okay, let's leave this where it is, because I feel like if we were to try to jump in and do this, honestly, it could create more questions. Because honestly, this brings, excuse me, a real understanding of how so many people are already hearing the Lord. And both this and what we were going to talk about tonight are both very short teachings in nature. And so based on what we'll look at it over dinner and see if there's a way to even do kind of too abbreviated of these interpreting impressions and prophetic perceptions. But if we did not lay that foundation, 102 would not make sense. OK, so let's do this. Can we just I'm going to go ahead and get Chuck Jones to come on up and we'll bless dinner and we'll figure out what to do from here. And but I want to thank you so much for your attention. Again, was this helpful? I hope it was. And we'll figure out a way to be able to pack as much information and impartation into you that will bear fruit that remains as we can. But it really is important that we maintain an honor for your time, and it's 4:30.